Morning, everyone, and it's really good to be speaking to you again. And we have an interesting passage this morning, as Valerie indicated. Now, words are actually concepts. We tend to not think of the way that the human mind works. It tends to compartmentalize things, and actually our language and our words are an expression of those concepts. Now, some words are very simple. They refer to objects like pen, cup, and shoe. However, some are more complicated. If we consider colour, for example, you might think, well, colour's quite a simple word. I mean, red is red and yellow's yellow. But in some cultures, but it's not quite as simple as that. In some cultures, brown and yellow are not separated out. Brown is just considered to be dark yellow. So again, do you see how the concepts are different? And most words are really much more complicated. Take, for example, the word mind, personality, and identity. They're quite complex words when you really think about it. If I asked you to describe them, what do they mean? You'd probably take two or three sentences to actually have to describe them. Now, this causes a problem for us when we have to translate from one piece of text that's written in one language to a piece of text that's written in another language. Because the concepts may actually be slightly different. There are some similarities. I think probably most languages have got a word for pen or cup. But I know for a fact that not every language has the concept of mind. And therefore, it makes the translation process quite difficult. When a word that exists in one language doesn't completely exist in another language in the same manner, like mind, for example. They would refer to what we consider to be mind in our language. In another language, they'd use different concepts and words. And this means that when we are translating from Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in, to English, which is what most of us speak, it sometimes means that we struggle to get it 100% accurate. We have to try and use words that are as close as possible, but do not convey 100% that word. And the passage that we are looking at today has got one such word, and it has caused awful problems. And when you read the passage, you'll see what I mean. And also the cultural views that have gone on down through the ages, and to a certain extent, more so in some cultures than others, but even today are causing problems. So, without further ado, let's have a look at the passage that we are going to look at today. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21 through to 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. I think most of you have probably realised that the word that has caused so many problems, and particularly in modern times, is that word submit. But we're going to have a little bit of a demonstration, because the problem is with submit is that the word that is used in the Greek language doesn't exist in English. And so they've had the translators, and I've got every admiration for the translators. They're very skilled and clever people, have had to go to a word as close as possible, but it's not quite the word that they really mean in the Greek. So we're going to have a bit of a demonstration. So can I have four wives, please? We've got two brave wives so far. Any more? Come on. I know there's a lot more. Come on, at the back there. So we've got another one. Right, we need one more. One more wife. Oh, good. Well done. What I want you to do is I want you to hold each corner of this scarf that I have. Yeah, I think you've all got the idea. And I'm going to put, because what the word actually means is it actually really means to put a almost like a protective net under the husband. It means to actually protect and love that person. And I've got, well, I haven't actually got a husband, not that he'd be light enough to go on this, but I've got my Mousie, and he came all the way from Austria, and I'm rather fond of him. I've had him quite a number of years, and he's quite a romantic little soul with his heart. So I'm going to put him on the scarf, and I'm going to use my cane for a reason that's probably not really meant to be used. And ladies, you have to protect him. You have to protect your husband now. Oh. They're doing things. Watch, I just want to make sure I don't hurt you. Oh. Whoops. Okay, thank you very much. I hope that demonstrates what the word submit means in Greek, or rather what the word that the Greek language uses. Thank you very much, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So we have this word. From what I've observed, because I'm not married and never have been, but I've observed many good and strong marriages. And from what I can see, most wives in a good, strong marriage, that's exactly what they do. They put a net under their husband and they protect him and love him. I don't know what your marriage is like, but I see my parents' marriage. I know my mum always made sure that there was a card bought for her mother-in-law on Mum's Day, reminded my father that he did need to buy a Mother's Day card. The same at Christmas and birthdays. Always make sure that there's ironed shirts in his wardrobe, and that there's a meal on the plate on the table when he comes home from work. It's just what a wife does to protect her and love her husband. And this is not done because it's her duty. She has to. This is done because the wife loves her husband and wants the best for her husband and doesn't want anything to happen to him. So she puts this net under him. Likewise, husbands are instructed to love their wives. And we all know the problems that we have of abusive marriages. And by the way, that doesn't just always happen with the husband beating the wife. There are situations that go the other way of men who are abused by their wives. But men are instructed, they have to love their wives. They can't just treat the wife any way she likes. They can't treat her like a second-class citizen. They are meant to respect and to love her as the Lord loves them. The husband's role model is to be taken from Christ himself. We see how Christ behaved in the Gospels. Christ loved people. He was merciful. He was kind. But he was also fair and just. And that, I believe, is what both wives and husbands should take their role model from in their marriage and in their family lives. But marriage is an even bigger picture, which this passage brings out when it starts to talk about the church. Because we have this image of Christ as the groom and the church as the bride. I was very interested when Val mentioned that, you know, how many times have we thought of the crucifixion since Easter? And actually, Christ sacrificially died for each and every one of us. But actually, he died for the church. You are the church, every one of you. It's not the building. It's not the bricks and mortar that we're sitting in. It's the people that are the church. And he died for every single one of you to show you his love, to join together so that the bride could come to the groom. So Christ wants to be the, and of course Christ is the head of the church. We look to Christ as our head. We don't look to anybody else as our head. We look to Christ. He is the Christ, he's the head of our church. And so, husbands are told to be the head of their marriage. I think a lot of marriages, that's kind of shared, but they are generally the leaders in the marriage. And so we look to Christ to model our church. But the bit in this passage that is so often missed is that we are told that we are to submit to each other. We are to love each other, to submit to each other, to not behave in a manner that is destructive in the church. And I actually believe that if we loved each other, that that love, that central love, should form the central culture of our churches. And actually, what happens is that gossip creeps in, or I don't like such and such a person, or I get a bit envious of such a person, or who does he think he is? And we get these destructive elements into our relationship. We are told to submit to each other, to put a safety net under each other, to protect each other as Christ loves us and protects us in the church. We are instructed to love one another. And love doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be bestest buddies with everybody. It means desiring the best for that person. We can't all be best buddies with each other. There's too many people in the church for that to happen. But we can care for each other. We can desire the best for each other, even though we might not know each other very well. We can do things that protect each other. A very good example, of course, is we have the child protection regulations in the church that protect our young people and children. Now, we don't know all the children personally, but as a church, we have things in place, we have regulations in place. Okay, they are government regulations in a lot of extents, but they make a lot of common sense, and they protect, they put a safety net under our young people and children. And that's what we're to do for each other, even as adults. We are to protect each other. And if we love each other, then we become a bit of this magnet that can start attracting others into the church. Because people who are loving and kind, who go out of their way to help others, start to attract other people in. People come to see, what is this organisation that loves me, that likes me, that doesn't judge me, that just accepts me for who I am. And people come in to that kind of environment, that kind of atmosphere, to be a loving church, to be the bride of Christ, and to show love just as Christ does to all others. And what I'm trying to say is that, in other words, we start to become the church that Christ has called us to be. We start to become a church that cares very deeply about our very intimate relationships between a husband and wife, right through to the bigger church picture, to the church picture that loves its surrounding community, that wants the best for its surrounding community, that wants to put a net under the vulnerable people in that community, and to protect and to see that community prosper and to grow, and then hopefully to find Christ. And as I finish speaking today, I just want you to think about the incredible love that the Trinity actually has shown to us on earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ made this huge sacrifice to come to earth so that we today could be the church. So let's share that love and reach out to the community. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, you know what every marriage in this church is like. I pray, Lord, for that love may grow between two people, that intimate relationship, Lord, that you preserve it, that you protect it, that those two people can grow closer together. And Lord, that you support wives as they place this beautiful protective net under their husbands, and that husbands, that they love the wives, Lord. Lord, we're aware, Lord, that some marriages, there is violence and aggression. And we pray, Lord, that those marriages can be supported and that vulnerable individuals, wives or husbands, in some cases, can seek the help that they need. Lord, we pray that as a church, we can be a loving church. We can be a church that does attract others to come in. We can be a church that is and models Christ himself as we look to being that role model on earth, as we look to becoming Christ in skin and being the bride of Christ. Amen.